Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study in Luke chapter 6, verses 41 and 42, titled, Then Shalt Thou See Clearly. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com, or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry, sending those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study in Luke chapter 6, verses 41 and 42, titled, Then Shalt Thou See Clearly.
Good. All right.
This is part one.
Start with a current events update. It's amazing how over the last few months, the current events updates have just made me angry. And I've had to pray, Lord, help me. I want to be nice and sweet. Help me. But we want to talk about Laodicea. How many of you have listened to our studies in Revelation? Revelation specifically chapter 3 on Laodicea. How many? Raise your hand if you've heard that, watched that. If you haven't, some of you were here for the live version. But if you have not, if you weren't here then or not, that's been a while back. And if you go on YouTube, you actually see we still have the old website address. On sermon audio, I was able to change that, and I hope to change it on YouTube as well. But we went verse by verse through the entire book of Revelation at 100 hours of study. 100 hours. And we still didn't hit it all. But when we were studying Laodicea, what we saw was we emphasized the church of Laodicea. But that church is worldly. And the world itself is Laodicea. And today we have a generation, I don't mean one generation as in those youngsters. I mean pretty much from everyone voting age and up, we have a generation of communist-minded social justice warriors. And that's what's going on with these riots. Not the protests themselves, but the riots, the violence, and everything else. Now, you need to understand, communism comes just from the word commune. And it's the idea that we all just live in one big commune where everybody, you know, shares equally. And everybody, what you ideally would do is everybody works and does the same amount of work. And you don't get paid necessarily a wage, but you have a certain amount of food and clothing and housing. It sounds great. That's why people get sucked into it, because it's like, wow, that'd be great. Everybody would be equal. But see, we won't get into this, but if you need a constitution, we have them. Amen. And you ought to have a copy of your constitution. You ought to keep one in your car, one in your home, and you ought to read it every once in a while. Yeah. And that constitution is the law of the land, but people will quote the Declaration of Independence that said that all men are created equal. And then they'll interpret that in a way that the Founding Fathers had no intention of interpreting it. They did not mean that we're all to be equal in our financial situation or equal in our status or anything like that. What they meant was we all have equal rights under the law, and it protects us, you know, the Constitution protects us from illegal search and seizure. It protects us our freedom of religion, our right to free speech, and our right to peaceably assemble. And you need to understand that. Our Constitution does not give these rioters any right to do what they're doing. And whether, now, this isn't a federal issue, so blaming Trump is just stupid. Each state has a governor, and that governor is supposed to enforce The Constitution. Now, every state has its own constitution, and for the most part, they echo the federal constitution. But if in your state they're allowing looting and violence in for any reason, they are in violation of their oath.
Yep.
That governor should be impeached.
Amen.
I don't care what state it is. You do not have the right. The mayor isn't responsible. It's the governor. And the governor, now, here in Columbus, I give them credit. They didn't allow that. There's some people break windows and stuff. You can't stop all that. But man, this place, they locked it down. If you think that my business is going to be busted into and looted, you are to try to protect me and my business. And I give credit. I think they've done a good job in Ohio. I don't know what happened in Mansfield, but it looked like they did the same thing. Mansfield was supposed to have a big rally. I think it was Saturday. They just shut it down, man. Made them go to a place off outside of town where they couldn't loot.
Amen.
Yeah. If you want to protest, do it outside the business district.
That's right. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, do it in your own neighborhoods. Burn your own houses down. Amen. Now, if you don't understand that, you need to read the Constitution. That's what the Constitution says. They have a right to peaceably assemble,
right,
not to riot and loot.
Right.
So, by definition, Laodicea comes from two words. It's a compound word.
Nice.
Not that kind. Decay. Laos, common people. Decay, justice. So you have common people screaming for justice. But the problem is, you can scream for justice and not be really screaming for justice. As a matter of fact, I mean, most of what's going on in these riots and everything have nothing to do with George Floyd. Now, George Floyd's killers have been arrested and charged. And at least the one man who had his foot on his neck, and then there should be investigation and there should be a trial. All this vigilante nonsense is lawless and it'll destroy your country if it keeps up. So Laodicea is the common people demanding social justice. Well, there's the problem is that word sounds fine. It would be fine if it meant what it should mean. But it has come to mean communism. It's come to mean trying to equal the playing field for a bunch of lazy, good-for-nothing bums. People who are given a free education in this country spit on the textbooks. They don't read them. If you went to school and you didn't apply yourself to get an education, shut your mouth.
Amen.
I don't want to hear you complain. I don't want to see you rioting. You've been given the best country in the world with the free education, and the poorest of the poor in the United States of America are better off than 90% of the people in the world.
Amen.
Poor people walk around with smartphones.
Yeah.
Poor people with internet access, unlimited. Poor people with computers and phones to get on the internet.
Yeah.
Poor people with cable TV. Poor people with brand new clothes. Poor, you ain't poor. You ain't poor, you're just stupid. You're ignorant. You don't even realize the world you live in. You don't even have a clue. This is an example of the fundamental transformation that they're trying to organizing to end all forms of detention, criminalization, and surveillance. The country, the entire country. There's calls like in Minneapolis to totally do away with the police force. Listen, usually the people who fight for that stuff are the first ones to get killed.
Yep.
That's what will happen if you put it in. We need police force. It's antichrist to say you don't need a police force. Romans 13, 1-6, God establishes ministers, actually. He calls them ministers to execute wrath on the evildoers. And that will result in anarchy, chaos, and survival of the fittest. It'll be whoever has the biggest guns and the most ammunition, that's who will win that battle. You get rid of the police. Johnny?
And just mentioning, so what methods are they planning to use to do this?
Well, they do have some kind of a...
They're going to use detention, criminalization, and surveillance on the people ahead above them. So.
Yeah, eventually the people calling for this become dictatorial and start throwing you into camps. That's what eventually happens. Well, they're against it.
I know, but I'm saying.
But when that demand is not truly just, then you get chaos, and that's what the riots are. It's chaos. Because people have gone out with a microphone and interviewed these people in the streets, and they are absolutely stupid. Only a handful of people out there even know why they're out there. They're not out there for George Floyd, and they're not out there because of any real police abuse of one race over another. They're out there because they have no life, and they just like the drama. And when they walk up to the microphone and say, tell me why you're out there. Tell me why you're out here on the street. They get angry because they were asked. Basically, put me on the spot like that when I have no idea. And here's an example. Minneapolis City Council seeks to dismantle the police department. Now, I don't have a slide for this, but the mayor was at a rally yesterday, and when he said he was opposed to dismantling the police department, they shouted him down, cussed him out, and ran him off. And he's a liberal. And I'll tell you something. You liberals, anybody watch this, happen to be a liberal, when they take over, you'll be the first one they kill. Just read the history of any country that went socialist. The first people they killed were the liberals. Why? Because they weren't extreme enough. So it's producing more of this. We showed this Wednesday night. Black Americans are the ones being killed in these riots. And only one or two are even accused of being killed by police. Most of them are being killed by other rioters. That was Wednesday. Here's the update. We're up to 15 known victims. George Floyd, one man, and in result, 15 dead.
Wow.
Now, I'm not real good at math, but I don't think that's equal.
Yep.
All of them. Now, here's the reality. There are some victims of police brutality, but it's few. Most of the people shot and or killed by cops deserved it. That's a fact. If you don't believe that, you're an antichrist. Romans 13, 1-6 says that if you are breaking the law and you are attacking someone else or you try to attack that cop, you should die. That's Bible. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I am for police reform. There are bad cops. But some Christians get a really satanic attitude about this. And you'll wish you hadn't done it if we lose police protection. And it doesn't have to be dissolved. All they have to do is just decide, hey, you guys want anarchy? We'll just sit here and eat our donuts. This is the statistics. If you can see that, I'll zoom in a little bit. This is the number of people. Let me go back and get the title of this before we move on. We have this chart. It's the number of people shot to death by police in the United States from 2017 to 2020, the last 3 years. Now, that's white, the first four, the light blue, dark blue, gray, and red are the 4 years. 2017, 2018 is dark blue, 2019 is gray, 2020 is red. And then, so you have the white, and then the black, the Hispanic, and other. Okay? You see that? Just without seeing the numbers, you can see the chart. The idea that cops are killing black young men at a higher rate than other races is a lie. Now, if a black young man is killed, we got a few here this morning, I'm going to tell you, if you were to be unjustly killed by a cop, I'll be the loudest coming after that cop.
Amen.
But to tell our black young men that they are being targeted by cops and making you think cops are targeting you to kill you at a higher rate than other people is a lie meant to trigger you and to cause you to act out. And that's why Americans have got to get a spine and start speaking the truth about this stuff. We should be against the police ever abusing someone or killing someone unjustifiably, but we should also be honest about what's going on. And that's what's not happening. And as I said, I want to zoom in there. Look at, that's each year, it's gone down. Every year the numbers have gotten less for black and white. So your news media are a bunch of satanic liars. They want to get you all upset so you'll keep them on and they will get more ratings, higher ratings, and more ad revenue. In other words, if you right now came into this place thinking that there is a huge problem with cops abusing people, and then subset, a huge problem with cops unnecessarily hurting and shooting black men, you believe the lie. You're being played. And people need to speak out. We need to hold our news media accountable for being liars. Everybody loves to talk about all the crooked preachers. I'm here to tell you the rate of crooked journalists is way higher than preachers. So we want to make it clear, we oppose police brutality at any time against any person of any race. And as I said, whether you're white, black, yellow, sunburned, whatever, if a cop abuses you, I will be one of the loudest right there supporting you. We support the 99.9% of our police who are decent, respectful, and professional. If you don't like, I tell that young people especially, if you don't like what you're seeing in the police department, become a cop. And show them how to do it. That's how you make change. And that's, how many remember Herschel Walker? Football player, one of the best to ever play the game. I love to go back and look at his highlights. And he came out and said almost the exact same thing. Good for Herschel Walker.
Amen.
We oppose rioting as protest and violence that is not in self-defense.
Amen.
Period. There's no good excuse for it. No reason for it. And we support peaceful protest and freedom of speech.
Amen.
We had a bunch of people out here with signs, and I didn't agree with a lot of their signs. I think it was Saturday, what day was it we came to here, Jamie? And I look at the signs, I think, whatever, you know, some of the signs. Some of them are legit. But I support every one of them having freedom of speech. Freedom of peaceable assembly. Power to you. It's what we support. So in closing this little discussion up, go to Titus in your Bible. Titus chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7 starts out by saying, put them in mind. Every preacher should be preaching this. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, again, if you're being abused, if there's a problem and they're not justly treating you or accusing you, my advice, as long as they're not physically abusing you, go along with them and settle it in front of a judge. Because if you then act out wrong, you destroy your case. But if you're being physically abused, knock them out. Do what you got to do. If a cop is physically, there's women who are, every year, women who are sexually abused by cops. We had, remember, here locally. You don't take that. But if they are just simply detaining you and accusing you of something and you know you're not wrong, don't act out. Go in front of a judge. You'll be glad you did. Verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Amen. Now read verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Keep verse 3. You ought to write that down on a little index card and watch the news broadcast of these riots. That's describing the people right there. Not all the protesters, but the rioters, the violent. That verse nails them. Now read verses 4 through 7. Let's close it out. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And that goes back to our Sunday school study. If you missed it, you ought to watch it, because the Sunday school study is all about this right here. If you are saved, you have the Spirit of God in you, and you know that this life is not all there is, then you have a hope that will keep you from lashing out in ways that you're seeing in these riots. You will not want to, number one, hurt other people and destroy their property, bust the windows, loot their places, burn their places down. You won't want to do that to people. And you also understand that acting without praying and asking the Lord first is always wrong. Now, how many of these people on the streets you think prayed before they went out there? Amen. Just I want to say this before we get in there. Somebody, we were talking about this online on MeWe social media, and somebody a couple years back accused me of being a racist, and I said, "You ever been to our church? No. You ever listened to our studies? No. I was a racist, I guess, because they thought I was supporting Trump or something." I said, "Well, I just want to warn you. You try to kill one of the blacks or Hispanics in my church, I will kill you."
Amen.
If I'm a racist, I'm bad at it. But you know what? Everybody in this room, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's not about your skin color. It's about who you know.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. And that's a little bit of a segue into our study in Luke 6, verses 41 and 42. If you got your Bibles open, as we continue our verse-by-verse study of the King James Bible. And Jesus is preaching His Sermon on the Plain. And he continues, and we return to the subject of judging. We discussed that in a previous study, back in verse 37. We're going to pick up now in verses 41 and 42. If you're there, read it with me. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, "Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye," when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. God's people say amen.
Amen.
Now, before we go, I've actually experienced this on a personal, physical level, and actually Jenny has this constantly. And that is, for example, a couple of years ago, you guys remember, some of you remember, I lost my vision in my right eye. And so it was literally like I had a mote. I couldn't see except for a peripheral vision up here. And so there were times where I thought I saw something, but I didn't. One of the things was, We'd stand this. We still lived over on Stafford. I'd look out the backyard, and I don't know why. I don't know the physics or the explanation of it, but I saw little purple flowers in the yard. And one day I'm standing there, I said, I've never noticed those purple flowers in the yard. And Jenny's looking, what purple flowers? I said, all over the yard. They're just all there. You know, Greg, there's no purple flowers out there. So I opened the door and I walked out and I'm looking, you know, with my bad eyes and everything. And I could see, well, there isn't. That's weird. You know? Well, she gets outside, and especially if she doesn't have sunglasses on, she steps inside. And, well, most of us have experienced this. You ever gone out on a sunny day when everything's covered with snow? And then you walk inside and you can't really see anything because that's called being snow blind. Well, her vision is such that just sunny days do it. So if she walks outside, I got to be careful. I don't put anything around the front door. She's going to trip on it. Because when she comes out of that in from the outside, she just can't see anything for a little while. Well, spiritually speaking, that's what we're talking about here in this text. Now, I want to start again by notifying those who think this. Anyone claiming the Bible says, judge not, they're bearing false witness. There's a period. There's never a statement in Scripture with those two words and a period, judge not. So you'll hear people lie all the time. Bible says judge not. Maybe your Bible does, but mine don't. And never has and never will. Neither does it say judge not lest ye be judged. How many of you heard that one? Judge not lest ye be judged. Years ago, I'm like, I read through the Bible. I don't remember that. So I had got my concordance. This is before computers. We had to use books. And I had a concordance open. And I looked up the word lest. It's not even in there. So I was like, well, maybe it's just, it's not in there. The Bible never says, judge not lest ye be judged. Now, in our study, we have to also keep the context. Jesus' statement began in verse 37. Look up verse 37 if you've got your Bible open. It says, judge not what?
And ye shall not be judged.
And what's after the word not? Some of you don't recognize that. It's called punctuation. Comma. Not a period, right? It's a comma. Judge not and ye shall not be judged. And we're not going to re-preach that one. Go back and watch it. Luke 6:37, the message. But judge not, and ye shall not be judged, is really where then we're picking up in verse 41. And with that context, we continue. It says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? So I used the wrong word. It's like having a beam in my eye. I could only see around the top edges. And what did I do? I saw things wrongly. How many of you watched Matlock? Or Murder, She Wrote. Columbo.
Amen.
Oh, you fellas, you gotta catch up on some of this. This is good TV. I haven't watched CSI, but I've heard things about it. And I like Law and Order, but not the SVU. I like just the regular mysteries and stuff. But how many times have you seen episodes on those shows where the problem was that the witness really didn't see what they said they saw? And Matlock, I mean, there's times where he'd go in the courtroom and he'd have the guy stand up in the back of the courtroom and the witness, and he'd say, is that the person you saw? And they'd say yes, and then he'd take off his wig and it wasn't that person. You see? In other words, you're going to be a witness in a trial, you better have some good eyesight and be sure about...